Reading this morning, we want to turn to Colossians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Be looking at that passage in just a few moments. Let's sing hymn number 575. 575. Message. Father, we thank you again this morning for the opportunity to open your word and to look into it, to see what you have for each one of us. We know there's a word here for everybody. It includes all of us. So help us to receive your word and to obey you in all that you tell us to do. We do want to pray today, our Father, for those who are having difficulties. We think of Trey Love and pray for him, that you would give the doctors and his parents much wisdom in what they do for him, that they might make the wise decisions, and that he might be able to be relieved from these seizures and things that he's been going through. We pray for Carl Volz also as he is recovering from his surgery. We pray that he might have a full recovery and that everything would go well for him and for Gladys, and that you'd bless them in their time of retirement now that they've finished their ministry. We pray your richest blessings on them. We pray, our Father, for those who are shut in, that you would undertake for them and meet their needs today, give them encouragement and strength, and supply their needs. Just pray your holy will be done in every heart and life. And we do pray for all of our missionaries. We thank you for each one of them and for the work that they are doing, both here in the United States and in other countries. And we pray your richest blessings upon them, that they might have the opportunity to reach many with the gospel. And we pray, Father, thanking you so much for Christmas and all that it means to us as we think of our Lord Jesus coming into this world to take our sins upon himself and to forgive us for all of our unrighteousness. So we praise you and thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace and your mercy, and pray that you would help us all to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, we pray, in his name. Amen. Okay. It's important for us to remember the theme of the epistle to the Colossians. It's that in all things Christ might have the preeminence, that he might be the star, if you will. He might be seen as supreme. He is the sovereign God. That's in chapter 1 in verse 18. We read this some time back. But I'll read it again just to make sure I got it right. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." So we want to exalt our Lord Jesus. And here Paul is writing to this church, Colossians, the church of the Colossians, and expressing to them what they need to do. We must first of all be rightly related to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul explains that we have put off the old man and put on the new man. Jesus said you must be born again, right? You have a new life. We're no longer living the old nature, but we are following after the new man. We're risen with Christ to live a different kind of life, a new life. We had the baptism, was it last week? I believe it was last week. And that's the main point, isn't it? You are buried with Christ in your baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. That's what it's all about. And we as believers are to walk as new people in Christ and allow Him to be our Lord, our Master. We've been forgiven of all of our sins, and we have the Holy Spirit living within us to guide us into all truth. The peace of God fills our hearts, and we obey His Word. As we obey His Word, we have the wonderful privilege of worshiping Him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So whatever we do should be done to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any action that we do should be tested by verse 17. It says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." You know, think of that. Everything we do, we should be able to do it if Jesus was sitting there beside us. We might not do a few things that we do sometimes, right? Be honest. But he says that, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So can we do it calling on the name of Jesus? That's the question. And asking for His help in accomplishing what we're doing, knowing that He is always watching. If not, then we should not do it, right? Live according to His will. So in the passage of Scripture that we have here before us today, Paul discusses the personal relationships that we have as Christians. And he mentions each group. I don't think he left anybody out. The main point is that we all have mutual obligations and responsibilities toward one another, right? And this was a revolutionary message in Paul's day, because they didn't see it that way at all. I was reading in a book by William Barclay. He points out, under Jewish law, a woman was a thing. The possession of her husband. She had no legal rights whatever. For instance, a husband could divorce his wife for any reason, while a wife had no rights to initiate a divorce at all. In Greek society, a respectable woman lived a life of entire seclusion. She never went out alone. She lived in the women's apartments and did not even join the men for meals. Well, that's something, right? But her husband could go anywhere he pleased and enter into other relationships outside marriage with no shame involved. You see, it's one-sided, right? All the privileges belong to the husband and all the duties to the wife. Regarding the children, they were absolutely at the mercy of their parents. The Roman law gave the father the right to sell his children as slaves or make them work as laborers with no benefits. All the privileges belong to the parents and all the duties to the child. And in the case of slavery, the slave was a thing in the eyes of the law. When he could no longer work, he could be thrown out to die. He did not even have the right to marry, and any child that he might father would belong to the master. Once again, all the rights belong to the master and all the duties to the slave. This is where the Christian way of life is different, the message of Christ. Each one of us has privileges and responsibilities toward each other and toward the Lord. All of our relationships are to be in the Lord. He says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, right? We are to conduct ourselves according to His will and according to His word. Marriage is a partnership, each one fulfilling his or her role. The wife is to be submissive to her own husband. Submission does not mean slavery, like some people think or try to present it. It does not imply inferiority in any way. It means to arrange under rank. In other words, like in the military, when soldiers are under the direction of an officer, the soldier might be more intelligent than the officer, and yet he is obligated to obey him in order to have everything proceed in the best way. And that's the way it is in the home. The husband, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now that might qualify something a little bit, right? As it is fit in the Lord. There may be times when you can't submit some things that are contrary to God's will. But he's saying, you know, under general circumstances, the wife's place is to be the one who follows the leadership of the husband. Someone has to lead and someone has to follow. So he says, submit yourselves to your own husbands and allow him to direct you. It doesn't mean you can't talk things over. It doesn't mean you can't decide things. And it should be a reasonable thing. And that's what we're saying here. It's two sides to each issue. You have the wives, yes, they are to be submissive, but the husbands are to love their wives and be not bitter against them. See, it works both ways. In verse 19, he says, love your wives. And this love that's spoken of here is the agape love, the love of God. That's the kind of love that men should have for their wives. It means that you would not hardly be going around slandering them or beating them or mistreating them in any way. If you love somebody, then you care for them and desire their very best. This is God's kind of love. So the word husband originally meant one who holds the house together. I didn't know that. That's an interesting definition, holding the house together. It seems to me like many times it's the husband that up and leaves, doesn't he? I've heard a number of stories like that. So many homes today are single parent homes. Usually it's the wife that takes care of the children, right? While the husband has gone someplace else. That's not pleasing to God for sure. He's supposed to hold the house together. It's the whole idea of it. He's to lead and to stay by the stuff, so to speak. So he's like a gardener who works the soil and keeps the weeds out. He's responsible to love his wife, to desire the very best for her, to care for her and protect her, to be committed to her alone and practice the love expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's take a look over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter. I think it does us good to read back through it occasionally. It uses the word charity here in our version, but it means the same. It's love. It's the same word, agape. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And here it is, verse 4. Charity suffereth long, patient, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly or in an inappropriate manner. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So now when you go back and say, husbands, love your wives, what kind of love are we talking about? The kind of love that is patient, suffers long, doesn't get angry quickly. The kind of love that does not puff itself up and think, hey, do you know who you're talking to? The kind of love that rejoices in the in the truth and is not easily provoked. That wants the very best, hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. It's a trust, isn't it? We have to trust one another. And husbands especially are called upon to have that kind of love for their wife. And as is often said, if someone treats his wife like that, it's not difficult for her to be submissive to him, right? It works both ways. It's a mutual thing, right? It's not either or, but it's both. Then he goes on to talk about the children in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So we have two sides here. We have the children who are called upon to obey their parents in whatever they tell them to do, and to carry out their wishes, as long as they are reasonable and not criminal. You know, I saw something about this man taking his little girl in shoplifting. My goodness sakes. If that don't beat it, I'd say, what kind of a role model is that? You know, you're teaching your kid to be a crook. Come on. But anyway, I think here, you have to keep in mind, Paul is writing to a church, to believers, you know, and he expects them to act as believers, doing all things in the name of Christ. So he would not expect the parents to have their children doing something illegal or immoral or whatever, you know. So we have to keep that in mind. So it's not a matter of, you know, oh yeah, you've got to go rob a bank because I tell you to. No. Nothing like that. But then he says, fathers, what are you supposed to do? Encourage. Encourage your children. that they, he says, lest they be discouraged. It's up to the parents to bolster their children, to praise them. Not putting them on a pedestal. I don't mean that. But I mean, when they do something good, say, hey, that's great. You know, you did a good job there. Wonderful. You know, and don't always be on their case about every little thing and drive them into the ground and say, you're no good for nothing. You'll never amount to a hill of beans, right? You ever hear people talk like that to their kids? And that's not good. Anyway, we see those two go together. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Don't be unreasonable with them. Rather, teach them, encourage them, and help them to understand what they're supposed to be doing. Let's look over in Ephesians for just a minute. It's Ephesians chapter 6. There's a parallel passage. Ephesians 6 and verse 3 and 4. Let's see here. Verse 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And again in verse 1 it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. See, obey your parents in the Lord, and all that the Lord indicates for them to do. And do not provoke your children to anger. All right, moving on here, we find that's the home situation. Wives and husbands, children and parents. And then we see in verse 22, it talks about servants. And when it talks about servants, in those days he was talking about slaves, right? Half of the Roman Empire, people in the Roman Empire were slaves. 50%. And so that means the other half, I guess, were masters, right? So here you got a split society. And what is the situation here? What is the servant to do? What is the master to do? He says again, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So he's saying here, be obedient. And as a slave in that day, they were to appreciate those who were over them, the masters, in all things and at all times. Now that was, I'm sure that was not always easy. And Paul says in another place, even those that don't treat you nicely, you still obey them. But not just when they're looking at you, but all the time. Have a genuine interest in doing the right thing. He's talking here to Christian servants that are desiring to have a testimony for Christ. And he says this is the way to do it, by doing your work without complaining and doing what you are called upon to do. Fortunately, we don't have slavery here today. I know they still have slavery in other places. I do know that. And I'm sure it's very difficult for those who are under those conditions. But here we have workers, right? Employees, employers. And once again, we need to take a personal interest in doing the best we can because, as he says here, you're not working for this man, but you're working for God. Right? That's what our work is supposed to be. As he says, you serve the Lord Christ. Now, when we think about it in that way, then that would keep us from goofing off on the job, right? You have to do the work that God has given you to do and realize that He is the ultimate boss. He's the one in charge. And that's what Paul says here to the masters. Those who are over the others are to treat them with justice and with equality, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You see? Even the person who's in charge still has to answer to God. We were talking about that this morning. In Sunday school, everyone has to give an account in the judgment. Believers give an account at the judgment seat of Christ for the way they've lived, and the unsaved give account for the way they've lived at the white throne judgment. But God is going to call us all to give an account for our lives and the way we live our lives. But the master here is called upon to be fair and equal with his servants, to not be overbearing or to mistreat them in any way. Says the one who does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there's no respect of persons. So it doesn't matter what your position in life might be, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a boss or an employee or whatever, there's no respect of persons with God. He looks at all of us in the same way and expects us to do what is right. So we find here a word for each one of these various ones. And if we put them all together, you have harmony, right? Harmony in the home, harmony in the workplace, as long as everyone will fulfill what God expects you to do, then there should not be a lot of trouble and problems and difficulties and all kinds of conflicts that come about. If people would obey what God says in His Word, it would solve an awful lot of problems. And so God speaks to each one of us here in every area of our life, and it's up to us to obey Him or say, forget about it. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do as I please. I don't care what God says. I hope no one has that attitude. That's a very poor way of looking at things, because God is going, it says in one place that God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap, right? We have the free will. We can do as we please. But if we go against God's word, we're going to find out that it will not be too pleasant for us. So we need to make sure that we are following in the way that He would have us to go. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for Your precious word to our hearts today as we've looked at these various people represented here before us today. We have wives and husbands and bosses and employees and all of this, and children. Everyone's a child of someone. And so You're speaking to us today, Lord. And I pray that each one of us would respond in the right way and say, yes, Lord, Your will be done. May we walk in the right way of righteousness and truth and do Your will in all things. Thank You, Lord, for all Your grace and mercy to us. Pray that You'll bless now as we have the communion service, that each one of our hearts might be knit together with You and with each one of us. We might be united together as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us in shedding His blood for our sins. And we praise You, thank You for all of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.